الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم، يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا، ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا، يبيع أحدهم دينه بعرض من الدنيا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders, the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us are countless, be it financial, be it physical, but most importantly, the spiritual bounty upon us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immeasurable. The mere fact that we are reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that we are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are believers in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and final messenger, this is something which we cannot put a price to. For us to understand what a bounty, what a ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, first we need to instill within us that the life of this world is not the life. But the life of the hereafter, that is the life which we should aspire to build. We should aspire to be successful in. The life of this world is temporary, and success in it is not measured by our material gain, by our financial aspirations, or by attaining our financial aspirations. But success in this world is dependent on how we will survive in the hereafter. Success in this world is not how you live in this world, but success in this world is measured by how we will survive, how we'll be successful in the hereafter. And that will be through the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And to understand what is the eternal success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be giving a person who passes away with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once addressing the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, asked the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, should I not tell you about the last person to enter Jannah? So the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum said, definitely, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want to know about the last person to enter Jannah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, is a rajulun atallaha habwan. That this person will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala crawling. He will be dragging himself. So muhaddiseen explain, ulama explain, that this person would have spent most of the hereafter prior to that time, or the entirety from qiyamah to that point, he would have spent it in the fire of Jahannam, atoning for his sins in this world. That this person, his iman would be so slight that had his iman been any lesser than what it was, this person would have been rendered a non-Muslim, he would be rendered a kafir. Perhaps this person would have recited the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah with ikhlas once, and he didn't follow it up with any good actions. So having that amount of yaqeen, or having that amount of iman in him, was sufficient to save him from eternal destruction. It did not save him from any destruction at all. He would have had to atone for his sins in the hereafter. He would have spent time in the fire of Jahannam. And the toll of the fire of Jahannam would have taken place upon him to the point that he would now be dragging himself to come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the last person to enter Jannah. Once this person is taken out from Jahannam, Jahannam will be sealed. And whoever is therein will burn forever and ever, never to be removed from there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws a vivid picture of those who will be remaining in Jahannam as well. In the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادُوا يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. That they will be calling to Malik, the keeper of Jahannam. That we're not asking to be entered into Jannah. Only thing we ask is, لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. That tell you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to finish us off. The reply will come, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. This, my dear brothers, is not to be a prophet of doom. But at times we have to remind ourselves of the reality that is imminent. The reply will come from Malik that you have to remain. Innakum makithun. Deen was propagated to you. Deen was presented to you. But you rejected it. So nevertheless, this last person to be saved from that eternal destruction will come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, اذهب وادخل جنتك. That now go and enter your jannah. فيذهب فيخيل إليه أنها ملأ. This person will go and it will appear to him as if jannah is full. So he will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi innaha mala. That Allah, Jannah is full. There is no place for me in Jannah. According to one riwayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will immediately show him his place in Jannah. In another riwayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him to go for the second and the third time. Third time he will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell, Ya Rabbi innaha mala. Oh Allah, the Jannah is full. Everyone has taken up, occupied the spaces. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then show him his Jannah. And according to the hadith, the size of this Jannah is going to be 10 times the kingdom of the largest kingdom ever ruled. So there were four kings, in fact, that ruled over the entire world. Two were Muslim, two were non-Muslims. So in effect, this Jannah will be 10 times the size of this world. So this person will be astonished that I am the last person to enter Jannah, and such a large Jannah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting to me. So you will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَتُمَازِحُنِي أَوْ أَتَضْحَكُ بِي وَأَنْتَ الْمَلِكُ. That, oh Allah, are you joking with me? Are you playing fools with me? Whilst you are the king of all kings. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply to him, that it is not befitting of me to joke in this manner. This is your kingdom and 10 times its amount. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum said that we looked at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was smiling until his canines were showing. And he said, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا. That is going to be the person with the smallest Jannah. On account of what? On account of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So imagine that person who strived, who made an effort not only to acquire Jannah but to acquire the highest stages of Jannah. That person who read his salah. That person who made an effort on his iman, that person who gave dawah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person who fasted, that person who gave charity, that person who protected his a'mal, his actions, through fulfilling the huquq, fulfilling the rights of his fellow Muslim brothers. Imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in store for that person. But the mere fact that we are reciting the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is not a guarantee that we are going to pass away with it. Especially in that time, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about, that use good actions, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا كَقِطَعَ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. That use good actions to surpass such trials and tribulations, that will be like dark portions of a dark night. What will happen in these times, يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. That a person will wake up in the morning in the state of iman, by the time the evening comes upon him, he will no longer have iman. Oh, yumsi mu'minan wa yusbihu kafira. He will enter the evening in the state of iman. By the time the morning comes upon him, he will no longer have iman. What will happen? Yabi'u ahaduhum deenahu bi'aradin min ad-dunya. A person will sell his deen for some worldly commodity. Sometimes a person might say that this is something which is unimaginable, it's unfathomable. That how will a person sell eternal success, eternal enjoyment, eternal comfort for some worldly commodity, for some commodity of this world? Unfortunately for South Africa, it is fast becoming a reality. In various places, shaitan is working from different avenues to snatch iman away from a person. Just to give one example, a few years ago we were doing gash meaning door-to-door effort, in the Esplanade area in town. This was just after COVID. So when we met one, not just after COVID was still perhaps a thing, lockdown restrictions were eased. So gush was allowed, we were allowed to do door-to-door effort. So we met with one brother in one building. He says, Alhamdulillah, I'm ready to listen to you, but let's we go and try to meet another brother who is in this building. This brother used to be a 5 times salah, a namazi. He used to read 5 times salah in the Jamaat Khana that is across the road, not very long ago. Then when the COVID restrictions came, this person fell into financial distress. And he went looking for assistance. And he found assistance at a church which was around the corner. He went to the pastor. The pastor told him that we will offer you a job. What will be your job? You will run the errands of the church. He didn't ask him to become a non-Muslim. He didn't ask him to become a Christian. He just told him that your job will be that you will be running the errands of the church. Not only that, the pastor gave him his personal vehicle to run these errands. And he told him also that you need to be at standby during the Sunday service. You have to attend the service. You don't have to attend the service. You need to be standby at the service. If I require anything during the service, you can run the errands. This is how shaitan works. He says, once a brother started working for the church, he was no longer found in the masjid. He does not want to meet with the jamaats. This is an example of a person physically selling his deen for some worldly commodity. For a monthly paycheck. Gave up eternal success, eternal enjoyment. To us, alhamdulillah, such an act will be unfathomable, unimaginable. But a person on the whole might not sacrifice his deen for some worldly commodity, but he will sacrifice some portion of his deen for some worldly commodity. Sacrifice his sleep, or sacrifice Salatul Fajr for the sake of the enjoyment of his sleep. Sacrifice his Zuhr Salah for the sake of his business or for the sake of his employment. Sacrifice some aspect of deen for some worldly enjoyment or worldly benefit. My dear brothers, how do we have any guarantee that when this onslaught on our iman continuously take place, that when we are faced with the choice of selling our deen as a whole for some worldly enjoyment, will we pass the test? And definitely we will be tested with regards to this claim of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem, Alif Lam Mim, Ahasiban Nasa Yutraku Ayyakulu Amanna Wahum La Yuftanun. That do the people assume that just by merely saying Amanna that we have brought iman, that they will be left with regards to that claim and they will not be tested with regards to that claim. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those in the past, they were tested with regards to the claim of iman, so that it may become apparent who is true with regards to this claim of iman and who is false. Bani Israel, the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the followers of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, time and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the incidences where they were tested with regards to this claim of iman. And you can draw the comparison of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who went through similar tests. Bani Israel failed with regards to those tests. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum passed with flying colors. One such example, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam tells the Bani Israel, اُدْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَرْتَدُّوا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِكُمْ فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ. That enter the land of Baytul Maqdis, the blessed lands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And do not turn back. These people, they did not have full yaqeen in the words of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they wanted to see, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to enter the land of Masjid al-Aqsa and not to turn back? So they sent some spies at night to see what was in the land of Masjid al-Aqsa. And they saw there were people that what we would describe as giants. Big statured people, much larger than them, even though the Bani Israel, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he himself possessed strength, and he himself was a person in large stature. But these people were far larger than them. So they came back to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And they tell Musa, Ya Musa, inna fiha qawman jabbarin, wa inna lan nadkhulaha hatta yakhruju minha, fa yakhruju minha fa inna dakhilun. Then, O Musa alayhi salam, they are people who are large, tyrannical people. And they have occupied Masjid al-Aqsa. And we will not enter it until they remove from you. Once you are there removed, then we will enter, no problem. They went to the extent of telling Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنها هنا قاعدون. That you and your Rabb, y'all go fight. We are here sitting. On account of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً. That is haram for you for 40 years. Go and traverse in the lands. In comparison to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him in the Battle of Badr, 313 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they came out not equipped to fight a battle. They came out equipped to face a caravan. They were going to intercept a caravan. Yet they find themselves facing an army of 1,000 well-equipped soldiers of the Quraysh. The Muhajirin at that time, they were prepared, they were ready, they had taken bay'at to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ansar of that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poses the question, that are you ready? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in fact gives them an option. Do y'all want to face this enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The odds are against them. They know what they are facing. There is no promise of victory. The command was not as forceful as it was upon the Bani Israel. Yet what answer do the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum give? That, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you command us to jump into the ocean, we are ready. The difference between the companions of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was what? That the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had sacrificed everything for the sake of deen. Those that were in Makkah Mukarramah, they left their homes. They sacrificed their homes. They made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. They sat in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making an effort on iman, making an effort on yaqeen, attaching this heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that when the test of iman came, the promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there that the test of iman is going to come. When the test of iman came on the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they passed. Another example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to flee with the Bani Israel, when they come to the Red Sea, they look and they see the ocean in front of them, and the army of Fir'aun is behind them. What is the answer, what is the response of the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? Qala ashab Musa inna lamudraqun. They say that we are caught. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was his response? His yaqeen was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala kalla inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. That never, we can never be caught. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us. فَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ اِذْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْبَحْرِ فَانْفَلَقَ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. That we revealed to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that take your staff and strike the ocean. It split into various portions so that every clan of the Bani Israel could walk through. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Abu al-Ala al-Hadrami radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched him to Bahrain, when he sees the ocean in front of him, he sees the enemy not behind him, but on the other side of the ocean. The scenario is slightly different. The Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not with them. But the yaqeen of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where with takbir and tahleel, we're saying the takbir, saying the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, they plunge with their horses into the oceans and they cross. Not even the hooves of the horses get wet. What is the difference, my dear brothers? They are tested with regards to that ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that yaqeen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference is that they made an effort on iman. And the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum realized that warnings rather from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Those that were before the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, those that were before us, not only Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and those that came after them, every one of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them as a whole with regards to their ta'alluq and their yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be tested as well. We will be tested, but we are being tested time and again with regards to our iman. If you look abroad, our brothers in the various countries, the only reason that they are going through difficulty, going through hardship, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ, that they are going through difficulty, going through hardship. Why? Because they are holding steadfast onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, onto the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they believe in the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The onslaught that is taking place. Why? Because they refuse to give up the iman. Through the iman, they have that nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are being tested and they are holding on to the iman. My dear brothers, with regards to us, do we have that yaqeen that when the test comes on our iman, that we will be able to hold steadfast on the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? Or will be from amongst those who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesized, yabi'u ahaduhum deenahu bi'aradin min ad-dunya, that he will sell his deen for some worldly commodity. None of us have any guarantees with regards to this iman of ours. But what we can do is we can make an effort to strengthen our iman, to create that ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have that yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will come, my dear brothers, when we make an effort on iman, sacrifice some of our worldly time for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend time in that company which is conducive to building and strengthening our iman. So with regards to this, alhamdulillah, we are extremely fortunate that the Ijtima is taking place not very far away at the Tilth Crescent grounds. It has already commenced, alhamdulillah. Ulama have come from abroad, ulama that have spent their entire lives making an effort on deen. What is this Ijtima? It's not just merely bayan. It is an environment which is conducive to strengthening our iman. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gatherings to ijtima literally means a gathering. Gatherings took place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala attended the gatherings that were conducted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the most noticeable gatherings towards the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that which took place at Hajj. And what was that fikr, that worry and concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Hajj? That hal ballaght, hal ballaght, hal ballaght, that have I conveyed the message to you? When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum confirmed that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and conveyed the message to them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then replied that fal yuballigh shahid minkum al-ghaib, that those who are here should convey the message to those who are not here. Instilling within Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that fikr, that worry for concern, that worry and concern for iman, that worry and concern that how deen can be preserved. This is an opportunity for us as well to shift our focus from dunya to akhirat, to shift our focus from attaining financial and material wealth to that of spiritual wealth, to that of the akhirat, my dear brothers. So let us, inshallah, make this effort to attend this ijtima with that fikr, with that worry and concern, that how my focus can be shifted from dunya to akhirat, from dunya to deen. That how my worry and concern can be that one of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, how deen comes alive in my life. And how deen, how I can be used to spread deen throughout the four corners of the world. And that how we as a ummah can be united. How our hearts can be united on one fikr and one concern that is spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the four corners of the world. And the culmination of the ijtima which will take place on Sunday, the last dua. That how we can cry as a ummah united. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Begging of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove whatever difficulties we as a ummah are going through. This is an opportunity, my dear brothers, that doesn't come very often, especially to the overport area. We are indeed privileged. One is we should present ourselves with that fikr that how we can change our lives, but also those that will be coming, we are their hosts. Try to make life comfortable for them. Assist them in whichever way we can. Then we will also get a share in whatever good takes place in that ijtima. And whatever khair and barakat spread throughout the four corners of the world after this, from this ijtima, jamaats will be coming out. So let's we go with this intention that when we go there, we will give our names to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for at least 3 days. Spend some time for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.